Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey there, welcome to the Battleground America podcast. Let's dive in, because I've been meaning to get to this for a while. What is this election really about? You'd be forgiven for thinking it's about race, race relations, right versus left, big government versus freedom, even the erosion of our Bill of Rights. And it is, it's about all those things. But that's not the main thing it's about. Elections, first and foremost, are always about money. You've heard people say that all your life, and it never changes. And it won't in this election. Whose money? Well, a really big pot of money. Trillions are at stake. This election is about wages. It's about a big pot of money. That pot of money can stay in average people's hands, or it can stay in corporate hands. It can stay in the hands of small to mid-sized American businesses, Main Street businesses, or it can stay in the hands of international globalist conglomerate corporations. Big Wall Street firms, the ones traded on the stock market. Once you understand that, everything you're watching makes sense. Every election is primarily about the issues and concerns of those who fund it. Who's funding it? There's only one stat on that you need to know. And this is counterintuitive. The New York Times spelled it out this week. Wall Street's campaign donors are lining up behind Joe Biden? Joe Biden, the author of the Biden-Sanders plan? That he wrote with Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist who'd like the state to own corporations? Yep, that guy. That's counterintuitive. At least it is right now. I'll make it make sense. According to the New York Times, the wallets of Wall Street are with Joe Biden. That's the headline of the story. They've donated $44 million so far to his campaign, compared to just $9 million to Trump's. What do they know? What do they want? Lower wages. Much lower wages. Wages are Wall Street's biggest expense. And everything going on right now, much of it is scripted, folks, is about making Americans forget about voting in their own economic interests. Forget about the wage gains they got. Forget about the dollars sucked out of Wall Street and Wall Street firms and pumped back into Main Street via wage gains for the average worker. It's about making people forget that. Why on earth would these firms oppose gains in American manufacturing? Simple. That creates jobs inside the country. Why would they prefer manufacturing jobs to be offshored? Because when you bring manufacturing back, as Trump's tax plan did, you create jobs. When you create jobs, wages go up. People have more choices. And when wages go up, well, their largest expense goes up. Now imagine open borders, the kind Joe Biden wants to create. They'd fact check me on that at PolitiFact. Joe Biden doesn't want open borders. Well, he hasn't specifically said open borders. But when you promise to decriminalize border crossings, you pledge free health care to illegal immigrants, and you invite all 160 million of the world's migrants to come to America and apply for asylum, and you tell them that they'll be allowed to wait on the American side for merely showing up, that's open borders. Wall Street, the Democrats, and even some elites in the Republican Party want you to believe that the open borders debate is about diversity. If you don't want open borders, you must hate brown people. Shame on you, racist. It's not. It's about math. Imagine Joe Biden's society. Virtually open borders. What happens to wages? Say there were five people on average applying for the typical job. Now, with virtually open borders, jumps to 8, then 10, 12, then 15. What happens to wages at that point? They plummet. Right there you can see why they are so passionately opposed to Trump's agenda and so pro-China, so pro-offshoring. How do you win an election like this? If you're Wall Street, if you're the donor class, if you're the elite. You get people to vote against their economic interests. You divide those who had the largest wage gains against each other using fake, false issues, like race. Don't forget this, folks. Look at the emphasis on race we're seeing right now. Why is that? In Rasmussen polling of likely voters, Donald J. Trump is getting some of the highest approval ratings among black voters anyone's ever gotten. In fact, they are the highest approval ratings. 30% among likely black voters. Trump got 7% of the black vote last time. If he walked away with 30 or even 20 or even 18%, he'd win in a landslide. Where's that coming from? Black voters got the largest wage gains of anybody under Trump. We also saw the largest wage gains among black people in 50 years of recorded economic history. These are huge numbers, and black people have not forgotten, even with the COVID-depressed economy. Why do you think there's such an emphasis on race? But it wasn't just black people that had the highest wage gains, although they led the pack. It was blue-collar workers. So what are the elites doing right now in our streets? They are dividing those who got the highest wage gains against each other. So their house will fall. So their vote will not unite. So they'll be distracted from wage gains with racial issues. Who got the second highest wage gains? White, blue-collar workers. And blue-collar workers as a whole of all races, Hispanic, white, and black. Gotta split them down the middle. Nothing better to do that with than George Floyd. But let's go back to this crazy question. Joe Biden puts out a platform with Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist. And Wall Street piles on? What do they know that we don't know? Well, they know he'll regulate them. They know that he'll tax them. But regulation and taxes are not their biggest expenses. Wages are. Take a listen to Joe Biden hitting Trump on jobs.
We have an economic crisis with more than 16 million Americans, 16 million still out of work. Donald Trump is on track to break another record, on track to leave office with the worst jobs record of any American president in modern history.
Now listen to Pence's reply. What Pence is saying is true here.
We've already created more jobs in the last 3 months than Joe Biden and Barack Obama created in their 8 years in office. I'm excited to tell the story.
So it sounds like Biden wants to create jobs. That is, unless you know what he did in July, which tells you everything you need to know about what this race is really about. Yes, Biden intends to create jobs, but not for Americans. But who is Biden going to create jobs for? He told us in July, back when he knew nobody was paying attention. Had to do it because he's got to satisfy the donors by speaking it publicly. Biden plans to create jobs, not for Americans, but for H-1B foreign workers, who he said on July 23rd built this country. That is a shocking thing to say. 16 million Americans, according to Marketplace.org, are out of work right now. Yet what did Biden promise to do on July 23rd? Open the H-1B visa floodgates to cheap foreign workers for everything. Tech jobs, primarily, but also for nurses, for doctors, for plumbers, for every skilled profession you can imagine. It's cruel. 31 million Americans are on unemployment right now, and you want to flood the market? What was Biden reacting to? He was reacting to Trump's announcement on July 22nd that Trump had put a moratorium on new visas for the rest of the year, so Americans wouldn't have to compete with cheap foreign labor. Biden beat a path to the microphone to swear in his administration that would never happen again. He intends for Americans to compete head-on with foreign workers, even in the midst of the worst employment crisis we've seen in our lifetimes. Why? The more foreign workers you got, the more wages are depressed, the cheaper people are to hire and maintain. It was barely reported in the U.S., but it was widely covered in India, where most of the white-collar workers, our Washington elites in the donor class, are bringing in to depress white-collar wages, which, by the way, the depression of white-collar wages is the main focus of Washington these days. In fact, it's about all Washington does if you look at what they've accomplished legislatively. Listen to the outrage this was treated with in India. This is the Times of India's spoken language broadcast.
On June 23rd, in a huge blow to Indian IT professionals eyeing the U.S. job market, the Trump administration suspended the H-1B visas along with other types of foreign work visas until the end of 2020 to protect American workers in a crucial election year. Democratic presidential candidate and former U.S. Vice President Joe Biden has said that he will lift the temporary suspension on H-1B visas, the most sought after by Indian IT professionals, if he wins the November presidential elections.
After that, a flood of Wall Street cash poured into Biden's coffers. That's not new. If you look at who Wall Street has supported, who Wall Street donates to in presidential races, ping-ponging back and forth between the parties doesn't make a lot of sense unless you understand that the donor's primary cause and issue is the suppression of wages, artificially through mass immigration, legal and illegal. Who did Wall Street donate to more? The New York Times last week had a handy list. President George W. Bush. Yep, he got the lion's share. Then Obama did. Then Mitt Romney did in 2012, followed by Mrs. Clinton in 2016. What do all those people have in common? They embraced open borders or open borders policy. Who's George W. Bush? The pioneer of amnesty. Americans didn't realize it, but in the Bush regime, the country was flooded with immigrants at all levels. And a million immigrations to the country every year became the norm for the first time in American history. They loved it in Wall Street. Wages crashed. Obama continued this and put it on steroids. So they supported him. Mitt Romney promised to keep up the visa pipeline. So they backed him. Mrs. Clinton, same thing, 2016. So it looks nonsensical. Why are they zigzagging between Republicans and Democrats begins to make sense in who Wall Street supports once you understand what their primary agenda is. The Wall Street donors don't see right or left for the most part. To them, it's us versus them for the ultimate prize of wages. And for decades, they've been winning while convincing us to divide ourselves right down the middle and vote against our economic interest, while elites in both parties flood the market artificially with wage-depressing foreign labor. Remember the old saying, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing us he wasn't real? Our Wall Street puppet masters, who've gotten us to focus on everything under the sun but what's economically best for us, have done the same for decades, until Trump. Incredibly, while cities burn and we scream and yell at each other in the streets and we talk about race and systemic racism and George Floyd, Joe Biden is promising to make Americans compete head on with a flood of foreigners, not just the visa workers that Trump put a moratorium on. No, there's another bill in Congress that Biden also says he supports that would increase the visa total by 300,000. This was 16 million Americans out of work. It'd be scandalous if anybody noticed. Let's hope they do before Election Day. Folks, here's how it's going to go if Biden-Harris win. Things will be the same for a little while. Then 3, 4, 5 years passes. And it'll begin to feel the way it used to in your industry. Fewer and fewer jobs. Gotta stay put. Gotta accept another year without a raise because there's nothing else out there. Remember what that felt like? It'll be at all levels. Nobody will know what's causing it. This is what this election's about, folks. How do you get people to forget the wage gains they've got, to forget how good the job market was before COVID? You divide them down the middle based on race. You divide the blue-collar workers who got the most gains in the Trump era based on race. You dilute the vote. It's what they're doing. It's what Floyd's about. Nobody is a bigger threat to them than Donald J. Trump. That's why they're so hysterical about him. It's not about any of the other things they claim. It's only about this. In fact, notice this. Almost all the groups that Democrats have allowed to flood in to depress the wages of those they claim to support and represent, like union workers, every one of the groups, Hispanics from Central America and Mexico, Indians, Chinese, all vote Democrat at a massive rate. So you get to depress the wages, get the campaign donations, and build a new electorate. that will vote reliably Democrat and let you have the one-party rule you crave. That's what this election's about. If you start to watch it from that perspective, it will begin to make sense. They needed to divide the nation, and they have. They needed to change the topic, the subject, from jobs and wages, and they have. Can they maintain it until the election? I don't know. But it's the only issue that matters. All right, coming up on the Battleground America podcast, the biggest story today, like so many days in our country, is fake. I call it stealing history in real time. I'll explain. Coming up next, stay tuned.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, welcome back to the Battleground Podcast. Well, it took less than 24 hours. It's already become urban legend. Donald J. Trump paid just $750 in taxes, a billionaire ripping off the little guy, expecting you to pay taxes while he doesn't. Yep. All your liberal friends are going to be tweeting about this and complaining about this. It's a total lie, which is why it fascinates me. It is this is the number one news thing right now. Well, I'm looking at a Joe Biden ad right now. Well, teachers paid $5,000 in income taxes. Donald J. Trump, evil billionaire, paid just $750. $750? That's all he paid in 2016 and 2017. It's being reported as fact. CNN's carried it. I've heard it all over the place. It's a lie. It's an absolute lie. Watch in fascination as this lie gets repeated and is never debunked and is referred to over and over and over again. You know what you can use to debunk that lie? The Times story. The New York Times story in which it broke. Everybody is willfully misunderstanding it. Here's what happened. Yes, he paid $750 in income tax in 2016 and in 2017. After he paid $1 million in income tax in 2016 and $4.2 million in 2017. So wait a minute. He paid a total of $5.2 million in income tax? Yes. In addition to the $750 he paid each year. Oh, that's in the article? Yep, that's in the article. But the left and the media is deliberately and willfully misunderstanding it. Here's what actually happened. Trump paid the millions, $5.2 million in income taxes over the 2 years, when he filed for an extension in those years, and later used business investment tax credits to reduce his tax bills, his tax bill to just $750. Later in the article, the paper says, oh, by the way, he didn't get a refund for the $5.2 million that he had paid across those 2 years. Oh, so what he actually did then was pay $750 and $750 plus $5.2 million. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the truth is. So we're going to go around with faux outrage like we usually do in this stupid country, where we burn whole cities down before we get even the first inkling of what actually happened in a police shooting. By then, nobody's upset anymore, and nobody wants to burn anything. This is what we do. We go off half-cocked like a bunch of losers. And this is what we're doing today. And you know what amazes me about this? This whole thing, this New York Times article, it's a microcosm of what is wrong with our country is driven by the mainstream media. We go react to fake things. Almost nothing in your reality, as presented and created for you by the news, by popular culture, is actually real. So think about this. People structure their whole world view on the world around them and what they see and how they react to it. It's fake. Almost all of it is fake. Most of these big main news stories, when they involve politics, are fake. Just like the one I just told you about. Let me give you another example here. New York Times simultaneously arguing Trump is a failure in business because he showed such big losses, while also arguing that he's a gazillionaire and it's evil because he's so successful that he only pays $750 in taxes. Well, both things can't be true, but they're arguing them simultaneously. In other words, let's go get faux outraged about this instead of talking about the real problems that we have, like the fact that we're broke as a country, like the fact that we're up to, what, $26 trillion? The whole economy is only, like, what, $21 trillion? Congress spent the whole economy. We owe that plus some. How are we going to pay for this? Nobody knows. We couldn't possibly do it. We are broke. And someday they're going to cut us off and it's all going to crash. Could be tomorrow. Could be next week. Anyone want to talk about it? No. We're going to go talk about fake taxes and fake articles. By the way, here's the other problem with this article. They're arguing, look at Trump. It's massive losses. He says he's rich and successful, but he's not. Well, they're relying on folks' ignorance of how the tax code works and how the commercial real estate industry works. Eugene Sterl, a tax expert at the Urban Institute, said he wasn't surprised that it turns out that Trump had paid almost no federal income tax. Most commercial real estate developers, this is Breitbart, deduct large interest payments on their debt from taxable income, thereby lowering their tax bills. Typically, they also avoid capital gains taxes by plowing profits from the sale of one building into the purchase of another. Makes total sense. Most tax experts expected you would find very little in the way of tax payments by President Trump, and they were right. You know, this is what else happens, okay? This is where the New York Times is totally lying to you. When you own commercial properties, like he does, there's something called depreciation. You buy the commercial property, the government assumes that it's depreciating, so you can write off a certain amount of the value of the property every year. The New York Times is faking it and acting like, oh, those write-offs, those are losses. No, it's depreciation. So say you buy a $50,000 rental property, right? So you're going to depreciate that property in your taxes. You're going to write off eventually the full $50,000 value. The government's looking at the property as if it goes from being worth $50,000 to being worth zero, right? And to some extent, that's true. I mean, you're going to have to put new paint on it, new roof on it, that kind of thing. I know, because I've owned rental property. In the meantime, the value of that rental property goes up. Say after a decade, it's actually worth $250,000. What's it look like on your taxes? Oh, it looks like you've depreciated it from 50 down to very little. That's how real estate works. That's not a loss. It's not. It's depreciation. But the New York Times plays willfully ignorant on it. Trump also did take a huge loss, almost $1 billion in 1995, when the New York real estate market collapsed. He wrote that off over about 18 years. So he was able to do that over the years and not pay so much because he had a one-year massive loss. That doesn't mean he's a failure as a businessman. That happened to a lot of people in New York. But see, the media isn't going to tell you that. And they're not going to tell you this. We have known that Trump didn't pay income taxes for about 18 years. When did we learn that? October 10th, 2016. When the New York Times originally broke that story, after Trump admitted it, he volunteered it. Wait. So you mean the fact that he didn't pay income taxes for 18 years has been known since 2016? Yeah. This is another one of the games the media plays. Look, I don't know if you care about Trump's taxes. I don't particularly. I just think this is really illustrative of how manipulated your reality is. What is news is often fake. We've known about that since 2016 because Trump volunteered it, didn't pay income tax for about 18 years because of the near $1 billion loss. This is not a secret, but all the media is pretending. That's what they do. They're actors. They're pretending, oh, this is new. No, it's not. It's in the New York Times archives. I knew that. I've known it for a while.
I'm not surprised by it. But they're pretending it's all new. Wow, breaking news. No. It's recycled with a little faux outrage on top and half the facts. And they want you to walk around feeling, you know, sort of unfair as a little person. It's so unfair to you. It's just really unfair. No, it's just a bunch of lies so that we don't have to talk about what's actually going on in this country. Okay, I want to close with, of all things today, an epic rant by Malcolm X. What? Yeah, I want you to hear what Malcolm X had to say. Look, okay, a lot of things about Malcolm X I don't agree with. There's a lot of things about Malcolm X I totally get. He actually lived through segregation, the kind Joe Biden was still fighting to maintain in the late 1970s and the early 1980s, the kind Joe Biden would defend in a PBS interview in which he explained that black people really just wanted to have their own churches and schools and their own neighborhoods. Yeah, he actually said that. And look, if I'm Malcolm X and I live during those times and I actually see that, I'm going to be pretty ticked. I don't blame him. But he was a bit extreme, and things like that can make you a bit extreme. It was real injustice. But I want you to hear what Malcolm X had to say about white people. And the first time I heard it, I was blown away. Because Malcolm X divides white people into groups. This is how he would look at them. He's the big civil rights champion. Kind of broke with Martin Luther King Jr., thought he wasn't radical enough for the struggle. In this clip, Malcolm X is asked, well, okay, but, you know, didn't white people help with the struggle for the civil rights and for equality, the black people? And he said, yeah, they did. He said, yeah, no, and they were fine, except white liberals. So he divides white people into groups, white liberals. Listen to the caution he gave the world about white liberals. He said they are the most dangerous people in Western civilization. He could have said this today. It's almost prophetic. He could see them so clearly. He nailed them for what they were. It's today's epic rant, Malcolm X.
There are many whites who are trying to solve the problem, but you never see them going under the label of liberals. That white person that you see calling himself a liberal is the most dangerous thing in the entire Western Hemisphere. He's the most deceitful. He's like a fox. And a fox is always more dangerous in the forest than the wolf. You can see the wolf coming. You know what he's up to. But the fox will fool you. He comes at you with his mouth shaped in such a way that even though you see his teeth, you think he's smiling and taking for a friend.
There are many whites who act friendly. The fox acts friendly toward the lamb. And usually the fox is the one who ends up with the lamb chop on his plate. The wolf doesn't act friendly, and therefore the wolf has more difficulty in getting the lamb chopped.
I'd like to point out, though, that...
I say that because it is usually the, if you study the structure of the community, economically, politically, civically, psychologically, and otherwise, it's controlled by the white liberal, who usually poses as the friend.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of the Battleground Podcast.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on radio.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Be sure to share with your friends and family. Thank you for listening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.